Well, the Bahraini regime continues with its crackdown on pro-democracy protesters as an appeals court upholds a 10-year jail term against an imprisoned photojournalist. The country's High Court of Appeals has ruled against award-winning photographer Ahmed Homandan. Human rights groups have been calling for the release of Homandan. The photographer and 29 other Shias were sentenced to 10 years behind bars after being accused of involvement in an attack against a police station in 2012. Human rights groups have been calling for his release. Now, human rights watchdogs say that Homandan was only covering the anti-government protests that erupted in mid-February 2011. Earlier, Bahraini human rights activist Maryam Al-Khawaja was arrested upon arrival in her country. The Manama government has imprisoned thousands of people for attending pro-democracy demonstrations over the past 3 years. Hundreds of the jailed political activists are on hunger strike. Let's cross over to London, joined by political commentator, Mr. Chris Bamberty. Thanks so much for being with us. It appears that the regime in Manama just continues to exert more and more pressure. Now we see that this photojournalist has been sentenced to 10 years in jail, and not a whole lot is being said about it from the so-called international community. So if we do not have that pressure from London and Paris and Washington, what can be done with this situation? Is it enough? Will it be enough for the people in these regions at least to try to exert more pressure on their governments so their governments can respond?
I think you make a good point. Imagine if this had been a journalist sentenced for this sentence in China, in Russia, or indeed Iran. There would have been a chorus of disapproval with President Obama and in the Western media. And yet there's complete silence in the Western media about Bahrain, because Bahrain is a major business partner, it's a major military asset for the Americans and the British, and of course it's essentially a client state of Saudi Arabia, their key ally in the region. And I fear it's not enough really for the Bahraini people to keep protesting. They have been heroically protesting on the streets despite this constant and unyielding repression by the Khalifa autocracy, but they haven't been able to break through, and they desperately need support, not just here in the West, but across the region and in the Arab world. But of course, the isolation of the Bahraini people is also a consequence of what has happened to the Arab Spring. The Bahrainis were one of the first on the streets in that Arab Spring, and yet we have seen the Arab Spring really reversed in so many ways, in large part by the use of sectarianism by Saudi Arabia and its client regimes in the Gulf states. And the reversal of the Arab Spring, the introduction, the deliberate introduction of sectarianism into the region by the Saudis, the Qataris and others, has helped isolate the people in Bahrain and helped this silence which is developing around them. So I think we have to, in this continuing repression that we are seeing in Bahrain, that it's not enough for the people of Bahrain themselves to keep protesting, although they should. And it's not enough just simply for the few groups like Human Rights Watch and so on who are paying attention to Bahrain to protest. We have to have a campaign in the region and the Arab states as to why the people who supported the Arab Spring in Egypt and elsewhere should support Bahrain. And we have to have a question to try and break this media silence and to hammer on the sort of duplicity and hypocrisy of the West in remaining silent over Bahrain because of the West's own self-interest, its own interest in Bahrain itself. And the fact that the Khalifas are still honoured guests of, for instance, the British royal family and Prime Minister David Cameron is quite shocking.
Well, Mr. Bamberty, it's looking at something you've talked about just now when you talked about the Arab Spring. If we look at the situation, if we recall original pictures, whether it was in Egypt or Tunisia or wherever, and we saw, for example, in Egypt, not only various Muslims or whatever praying together, but Christians, for example, circling the Muslims so they could pray. And also later we saw Muslims encircling Christians so they can pray. And then after all of this, as we have seen, all of a sudden sectarianism is at a peak. And with the situation in Bahrain, many would say, because the majority are Shia, that there's not a whole lot of attention being paid to the situation. Do you think that this whole issue of sectarianism was actually another card in the pocket of the powers that be to make sure that this area, this region, that the people in this region really do not reach the independence that they so desire?
Put simply, yes. And I think really from the beginning, the Khalifas and the Saudis were very keen to promote the idea that the uprising in Bahrain for democracy and self-determination was somehow simply a Shia demonstration, when in fact it was obvious to anyone, and it was obvious to the world, that it was Sunnis, Shias were on the streets together demanding democracy and an end to autocracy. But they played that anti-Shia card and indeed the anti-Iranian card from the beginning. And of course, we've then seen the Saudis, the Qataris and the Turks using that, particularly in the case of Syria, to really contaminate the Arab Spring and to divert the forces of the Arab Spring by bringing sectarianism in, something which is not natural. And I think your point is correct. You know, you look at Egypt, you remember people defending the Coptic Christians, but you look at Iraq as well. Sectarianism was not something natural to Iraq. You know, in the 1920s, Shia, Christians, Kurds, Sunnis, Shia, all people of Iraq mobilized against British colonialism. But there have been forces at work deliberately creating this sectarianism. Forces who are scared, it's obvious who they are, they're based in Riyadh in particular, who are scared by the Arab Spring, who are desperate to divide, to contaminate and divert it, and have seized on sectarianism as a way to do that, with catastrophic results, the consequence of which we see in Iraq, but also the silence of Bahrain.
Thank you so much for being with us, Mr. Chris Bambury, out of London, political commentator.